Today was a wonderful day because we found out officially who, according to our listeners, is Brisbane's best bakery.
Yum! What a week.
I love the bit about when we found out how to modify a tat. Remember that bloke that turned what, his girlfriend's face into a baboon's?
That was very cool. And how about the youngest grandparent? We found Brisbane's youngest grandparents.
Yeah, that's that was quite fun. And a bit of Rosalie from Logan. There's plenty in the catch-up. Have a lovely weekend. If you haven't gone to the Brisbane Comedy Festival yet, go out and go to the Brisbane Comedy Festival. There's some many great shows on. And Edmunds, I'd recommend. Dave O'Neill's very good as well. Mr. Damien Powell. Go and have a look at something because there's plenty of funny people in town.
Marto, Ed and Robin, lifting podcasting to new heights. Well, they're giving it a crack. Might need a hand from Height for Hire's reliable fleet of booms and scissor lifts. 1-800-heightforhire.com.au.
Good morning to everybody. How are you going?
Very good.
Rosalie.
Oh, yeah.
Hi. Are you planning a big weekend down there in Logan?
It's the weekend? Yeah. Oh, God. I went out to the Logan Tavern for a long lunch on Monday, and I've just woken up. I think I'm in the dumpsters at Aldi, because there's a 24-inch flat-screen TV sitting on top of me and some weird German biscuits called Umskrau. If someone wants to come and pick me up, that would really help me out.
Are you really, we spoke before, are you really a client of the Logan Village Bakery? Is that true?
Yeah. Before I got banned, Rosalie used to be down there all the time. I'd walk in there and I'd say, listen to this, you love this one. I'd walk in there and I'd say, hey guys, you got any cream buns? Because I do.
Oh, Rosalie.
Darren would have loved that.
Okay. You got any veggie bite scrolls? Because I sure do.
Okay, no, let's get on to safer ground. Have you seen the new Wolverine movie?
It's called... You like that one?
Yeah.
I don't want to see one.
In a blanket. I think they're called Smokey Dogs.
Smokey your dog.
Rosalie, stop. Let's talk about the movie Logan, the Wolverine movie Logan. I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah, I saw that. You know I used to go out with Hugh Jackman?
Did you?
What?
Oh, yeah, Robin. He likes an older woman. You know, he said his wife. You know what they say, Robin, and you can say it with me. The older the merry.
The what?
The sweetest.
Okay, I'm so glad I didn't know the answer to that.
You know, I can be an X-Man. Rosalie is a superpower.
What is it?
I can make men leave their wives.
Can you?
All I need is a carton of draft beer, a bucket of goose fat, and a tarpaulin. And we'll be in divorce court in the morning. Oh.
What's the tarpaulin?
Anyway, don't.
We might leave it there.
Polaroid camera helps as well, just for evidence.
Okay, that's been great. Great wrap-up.
Robin!
Yes.
Just from one sister to another, just between you and me, just let's talk real quiet for a second.
Okay.
I've lost all my underwear. All of it. It's all gone. Would you mind sending your sister some? If what I normally wear is, I'm sure you've got some of this, down the bottom I normally wear a super skimpy diamond G-string worn backwards, and up top, and this is for you, Marto, ask me what I wear up top, Marto.
What do you wear up top, Rosalie?
Fresh air.
Thanks, Rosalie.
Let's get that on this.
See you soon.
Yeah, bye.
No, probably not.
Coach of the Queensland Origin team, but he's more than that. He's the moral compass of Queensland. Good morning, Kevin Walters.
Good morning. How are we going, Ed, this morning? All good?
We're pumped up, mate. We are pumped up. How are you feeling, Kevy?
Oh, I'm just the same. I've just got to come back from two laps around Mount Coober. I can't wait for tonight.
How's the car running?
No, in the car. I didn't run in the car.
Okay, really, Kevy?
Hey, Kevy, I just spoke to our mate Hawley. He reckons there's nearly it'll be close to 50,000 people there tonight.
Yeah, look, it's going to be a fabulous atmosphere, Marto. These games always produce something special, don't they? We've seen over the last two or three years, way back to that grand final where good things just happen. I think it's the way in the spirit that both teams play the game where we get such a good contest. And I guess with anything with Milford and Hunt and then Thurston and Morgan involved, there's always going to be something happening.
Where do you watch the game from, Kevy?
I'll be up in the con box working for Fox tonight. So
trying to
sit on a neutral ground, being Queensland coach. Of course, I did spend a lot of years at the Broncos. But, you know, I think it's going to be, as I say, a wonderful game. And I really can't tip a winner. It's split. I don't know who's going to win tonight.
Does it matter for you as a Queensland coach identifying players for June? Is it too early?
Every game counts from here on, Marto. It's only 12 weeks to Origin 1, so it's only 3 months, and these guys need to start, you know, getting into groove, which they have. Last week, I thought most of the Queensland guys performed well, and again, tonight, it's a good warm-up for them, I suppose, because the atmosphere and everything is similar to Origin, so there'll be a high standard, it'll be a fast game tonight, and looking, you know, forward to seeing our guys run around from both sides, and particularly Matt Scott from the Cowboys. You know, I think he's in for a really good year, given what's happened to him the last couple of weeks with all that contract negotiation and the like. I think he's put that to the background, and now he's really focusing on his footy and looking pretty good for him.
Hey, Kevy,
one more, we've got to let Kevy go.
Oh, Kevy, if I was a first try scorer better, who would be your two top players?
I'd go for Oates or Felt, one of those two.
Right,
can I give you three, Marta? Jordan Kahu is a known try. He's the first try scorer last week for the Sharks, so against the Sharks, so he should be in there as well. Just before you go, boys, are we still meeting at the Caxton before the Justin Bieber concert on Monday night? I haven't heard from you, so.
Mate, I'm
Kevy,
going there.
Don't you? I bet your daughter would love to go to Justin Bieber.
No, I meant the daughter. Kevy would love to go to Justin Bieber.
Kevy would like to go to Caxton. Hey, Kevy, we will meet there, and let's let any other dads.
Boys.
I'll see you there Monday night.
Right, no problems. And Kevy, also, I've got some family passes as well, guys, to the footy tomorrow night. So
tonight.
You mean tonight. You've lost your mind.
Yeah, sorry, this was pre-recorded yesterday. I forgot about that.
Marto, Ed and Robin's Best of Brisbane.
It's been huge. It's the bakery edition. Go to triplem.com.au because you can still have a look to see, oh, I've never been to that bakery before, because, Marto, you've been going and visiting a lot of these fine businesses. So have you, Robin.
I've loved it. Hasn't it been great?
Says you tucking into a sausage roll.
That one's from Logan Village Bakery. Without any further ado, let's just announce that Logan Village Bakery and Darren came in here yesterday and their stuff is amazing. Third place.
Well done, Darren.
Ed, how many losers are there in this competition this week?
Oh, so far, zero.
Zero.
Because bakeries, we've discovered, are the hub, one of the hubs of the community.
Yeah.
And if you go on and have a look at triplem.com.au, every single place is delicious. They're all run by families, good, honest, hardworking Australians, and they're all champions. Second place, Barrett's Bakery in Cleveland.
Oh,
so
well
done to them.
Excellent work. I know you'd be listening. Sorry you've missed out on first place, but only just. Well done, Barrett's. And that's another super community, little community there at Cleveland.
Which means that the winner of Brisbane's Best Bakery in 2017 on here on Triple M is Debra Bakery.
Wow.
Da-da-da. And we've got Virginia, who's the owner. Congratulations, Virginia.
Thank you.
All right. Have you got a few people?
I've got a shop full of people that have come in.
Oh, my God. And all because they all voted, A, you're a fine bakery, but B, you had all the signs and Facebook and everything.
Yeah, yep. Big support from the community. They're very loyal and supportive, our Debra people.
Virginia, have you won any other awards, your bakery?
We have. We've won a business award for Debra, and we've won one of the pie competitions as well for our corned beef gourmet pie as well.
Where was that this week, Virginia?
Oh, you want a corned beef pie?
I'm coming out in the morning. I'll be there in the morning. Do you do them on Saturdays?
Yeah, we'll have one ready for you.
So Marto's the savoury guy. What's your sweet? Because that's what I love. What's your good sweets?
Okay, so we've got people here tend to like the fresh cream donuts or the fresh cream apple turnovers.
Oh, goodness.
We've got all the chocolate hot cross buns going at the moment, the mocha hot cross buns. They're my favourite.
They're all delicious. I've been on your Facebook page a bit, and the apple scrolls get a lot of love as well.
Yeah,
they are
very popular with the cyclists, those ones, the apple scrolls.
The cyclists are carving up. So, Virginia, from Debra Bakery, it is now 32 Williams Street at Debra. I believe there's a Ray White sort of next door?
Yes, there is.
Okay,
yes.
Excellent.
For everyone, Debra is what, Virginia, 12 k's up the road from Samford?
Oh, no, it's about 20.
20, so righto.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people on the south...
On the one road.
Yeah, a lot of people on the south side will go, where the hell's Debra? It's a beautiful place.
It is.
You get a lot of motorbikes going on their big day rides, stopping there too, I suppose.
We do. We get lots of motorbikes, lots of cyclists, lots of tourists. I mean, it's an amazing community. It's, you know, green rolling hills. We're surrounded by mountains and wonderful people. So, yeah, we're very, very lucky.
Unreal.
Well, congratulations. You've nailed it. Your community have come through to you, and you are our best bakery in Brisbane.
Thank you very much. And thank you also, you know, for all the people that nominate for the other bakeries, because we know how hard baking can be. So we all deserve a pat on the back.
Wow.
Yes, you do.
But also just thank you for the Davor community for being so supportive of us as well.
Well done. And well done to Rusty. Do you know who Rusty is? He nominated you on Facebook.
I know. Awesome.
Give Rusty a few a free pie.
There will be a bit of that going on, I think, this weekend.
All right. Well, we'll see you with the award tomorrow morning, Virginia.
Great. I'll definitely be here and I'll be waiting for you.
Yeah. Of course, the Brisbane Best Bakery plaque, all thanks to the Trophy Superstore Logan Road Underwood. Another award to put in the cabinet there. And congratulations to Deborah Bakery.
Congratulations to everyone.
Yeah, they're still up there as well. MMM.com.au. Check them out and go visit your local bakery this week. Help them out. Go have a corned beef pie. My God, that sounds wonderful.
Catcalling. You know, when a pretty woman walks down a street and a guy makes a comment. Yeah, that sort of stuff.
That's a wolf whistle.
Well, that's a wolf whistle. But
can I make a quick question on clarification on it before we start this chat? Because I'm very interested. So we're saying catcalling here is... So there was a wolf whistle that Marto did. So is catcalling any kind of...
comment?
Anything that I... Any comment. Okay, great.
Sort of reference whatsoever to a woman tends to be walking down a street. Now, I'm in two minds about this. Because there have been times where it's happened to me and the bloke who's done it has been lovely and paid me a very nice compliment and it has made me feel better.
Give me an example. What is a compliment?
Oh, a guy said, oh, wow, you look lovely or something, you know, like where there's no sort of, I mean, I guess there is a sexual connotation, but it's not nasty and it's not leery and it doesn't make me feel dirty.
Woo-hoo. What about that one?
It depends on how it's said. And if it's in a group of men walking past a trade site, then I can often feel quite intimidated. Believe me, boys, it has not happened for a very long time.
Yeah.
But when it has been done nicely, I appreciate it. But when it's done in a group and it makes you feel intimidated, it's awful. Okay. So the Daily Mail, the wonderful, you know, great online publication that is, has done one of those social experiments where they sent a girl or three girls around the world to go out for 2 hours in Sydney, New York and Liverpool in the UK.
Liverpool?
To see who got the most catcalls and who were the most, you know, kind of leery of them. Now, before I give you the results, which city do you think gave the most? So the choices are Sydney, New York or Liverpool. And the women were all very similar looking, did have big boobs.
So you're asking who has the
models,
most pervy blokes?
Kinda, I guess. Who's willing to get out there and say stuff?
I'll say New York.
Yeah, I'm going to go with I'll go with New York because who knows what people from Liverpool are saying. Like, they could be saying anything, can't they?
Well, she was a Liverpudlian, so she understood.
Oh, okay, so she could translate, okay.
But what parts of the town?
Okay, so the Sydney chick walked through the city. She then walked through Bondi and then she walked through around a kind of construction area where there was a lot of building going on, which I think was around sort of a Redfern or around that area. So they placed her in three positions. The London one I couldn't properly identify in Northern New York, but they went to different locations.
Oh, no.
Okay, so the city with the least amount of catcalling.
Yes.
Which one do you reckon?
It's probably Sydney.
Yes.
I'll say Sydney.
You're right. Yeah. Oh. In a 2 hour period, there are only two catcalls. For that one.
Yeah.
The second with 8 catcalls in a 2 hour period was Liverpool.
And we got it right. New York was the most.
You got it right. 12 catcalls. And the thing was that the New Yorkers were nasty. Like, at least in Liverpool, some Cyprian guy said, hey, do you want to marry me and move to Cyprus?
That's all right.
Like,
that's an offer.
Good.
That's a nice offer.
Yeah, but the New Yorkers were like, it wasn't pretty.
If we did it here in Brisbane, like, where would you go? What is the perviest part of Brisbane?
Okay, well, you're the tradie.
Most likely.
No, hang on.
You tell me.
No, well, I work out in the suburbs. It's sort of the valley's got the most building development going on in it, and Tenerife down there, I'd reckon it'd be that.
Oh, hang on, we've got South Bank's resident perv right with us, Ed
Cavalry,
please.
Of course we have.
Take the floor.
The man who goes down with welding grained sunglasses on and sits outside the lagoon. on research.
There is a mental image. Come on, Ed. Mm. Where?
Look, I'll say that when we're at South Bank,
which end of Bikini Hill is the best?
At South Bank, it's all about it's quiet appreciation. It's like being in an art gallery.
No. Marto, as if Ed Cavalier would ever catcall anyone.
No, you wouldn't lower the tone. I once asked a woman to move to Cyprus with me. Yes. He's just on a whim.
It's very silent. He just gets the long lens out. Al Cavalier. Yeah,
exactly. The only noise you'll hear from me, Robin, is a vague sort of clicking, sort of a cannon shutter.
Okay, you need to stop talking right now.
Can I give you? You know how the walkway there below the pool, on the riverside of the South Bank, Lagoon. Okay, you're right. I ride my pushy along there occasionally. There's so many blokes walk along there on their tippy toes, just having trying to get up there and have a look into the to see what's going on the beach. Yes. Oh, it's a funny place.
I am tall enough to not need that.
Yes, good stuff.
Comedy festival on at the moment at the Powerhouse. Absolutely fantastic place to go and watch comedy down there. BrisbanePowerhouse.org to see the full lineup. And one of Australia's favourites is coming to town, Dave O'Neill, with his show The Summer of 82. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So, talk us through what's going on in the show. Why The Summer of 82?
It's a year when I left school and waited 10 weeks for my results. So back in the good old days when we used to hitchhike around, I tried to explain hitchhiking to my kids. I said it's like a cross between Uber and Wolf Creek. you never knew.
It's so true.
Remember when the teachers used to smoke and then they used to smoke in the classroom?
Yeah.
And in the 80s, they were banned. They're only allowed to smoke in the staff room. So you knock on the staff room door, it's like gorillas in the mist in there. They're all just puffing on.
Oh, that's good. What a time it was, the 80s, hey?
Christ. Oh, I loved it. And I was in a band in the 80s. Do you guys remember Noiseworks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't in them. But anyway,
that's right. Did you ever do any gigs?
Yeah. We went on TV. We put out an album. We called Captain Coco. And we went on The Factory, which was an ABC show hosted by Andrew Dedda and Alex Papps. Now, I know what you're thinking.
Oh.
Why isn't that show on anymore? That sounds
Alex
awesome.
Papps, my goodness. Yeah, so you've worked with Papps, my God.
And Andrew Dedda interviewed me, and just before the interview, he turned to me and he goes, "Hey, mate, remember, I do the funny stuff around here." So, I know. We're still waiting, Andrew. So,
anytime you want to kick that off.
Did you ever make Countdown?
No. Countdown disappeared before we were in the late 80s. So
what were you doing? Ska music or punk?
Sort of ska-ish. Yeah. No, more ska pop. Yeah. Ska we just wanted to be girls, basically. Wow.
That's why everyone performs a band.
That's true,
well,
isn't
you
it?
That was the footy. You perform a band.
How did it go?
No, I met no girls. Actually, I did meet a girl, but she lived a long way away, so I hitchhiked. She lived in Mildura, which is 6 hours from where I live. On the corner of the South Australian Victorian New South Wales border.
And I
hitchhiked on New Year's Eve to surprise her, and she was surprised.
What about the bloke she was with?
And what happened?
She wasn't home. She was out with her boyfriend, and her dad gave me a lift to the caravan park where I stayed the night.
Sad, lonely guy on New Year's Eve in Mildura.
It's a tragic story.
Dave O'Neill, looking forward to it. The Summer of 82 at the Brisbane Comedy Festival. There's a book that goes by the same name as well. Yep. So Dave O'Neill's got all your bases covered. BrisbanePowerhouse.org. Dave O'Neill's one of the funny blokes.
Is that to give away, Dave?
You can give away the book. I mean, I'm selling them tonight. I've got hundreds of them in my boot. So I'll be in the markets on Sunday as well.
Hang on. You've signed this book and you've said to
Reader,
not quite the summer of 69, but close. Keep trucking.
Oh.
But then it says...
Not Dave O'Neill.
Not really Dave O'Neill. Someone else has signed it.
No, I didn't sign that. Yeah, not at all.
I've got to apologise for that. I got bored in the studio the other day. I was just writing some stuff.
I tell you what, though. I did sign a book. I signed a lot of books, and I found one in the op shop the other day. And it had to Glenn, thanks for all your help. And there was a copy that I gave your friend, Ed, Glenn Robbins.
He's taken it to Vinny's. What a cheap bastard.
So
that
I
is
rang
classic.
Him up, I said... Glenn Cassie Glenn, I said, mate, I found my book that I gave you in the off shop, and there was a pause, and he just goes, "I was robbed."
I was robbed. That's great. You have to get him back by putting all the comedy company VHSs he gave you in the op shop. That'll teach him. All right, Dave O'Neill, the summer of 82. It'll be a great show. Get along, BrisbanePowerhouse.org. Can I have a double pass to give away, Dave?
Of course. Yeah, as many as you want.
1-333-53 if you want to go along.
Fill up those
go on
things,
mate.
Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thank
go
you.
On bro.
Sorry for signing your book.
Hey, big waves down the coast. Remember we said the other day, surf's up?
Yeah, and your son was really debating whether he should go to work. Did he?
Well, they didn't have much on, so he went down Wednesday and he said it was terrific. And Snapper Rocks, you know, the Roxy Pro for the girls is starting, the Quicksilver Pro for the blokes is starting. After this weekend, they should just start it now because the waves are huge. I bring this up because last night some people would have seen it on the news. There was a Japanese guy. They love their surfing. A lot of the Japanese come over to the coast to go to Lennox Head and all those sort of places. But this guy was a really good surfer, and he was out in these waves. It was 6 to 7 foot yesterday down the coast. Yes. He was out there, and on days like that, the dolphins love coming through as well.
They like a good surf,
do
they?
The most amazing footage. They do love a good surf.
Do they?
Oh, my God.
How cool is that?
They would realise swells up. They never go through the waves when there's little waves. They'll always wait until the big waves, and they just live for it. It's their bit of fun. Anyway, the footage that you will see somewhere, somebody's had it on their mobile phone, of the dolphin going through the waves, and if you ever see them, they punch out and they go for a bit of a jump. He's actually landed on a surfer, and it was a little Japanese bloke who's probably about 40, but really fit old bloke, and here he is just after he got out and he got shown the footage. Somebody actually had the footage. Could you even say it? Why did anyone see me get hit by the dolphin? They not only saw it, they filmed it.
Oh, you see that? He landed on my head, shoulder, and the back. It was like full on.
It was fully sick.
Oh, it was fully sick. And have you ever heard a Japanese guy swear on Australian television? Here it is.
I was like, there's no way I can get away from this.
Oh, he's the best. So he's cooking up this game. And then the guy showed him some more footage because he didn't come in straight away. He went back out surfing. And then the guy showed him some other footage and he told him that the dolphins went to do it again and then they turn away. You could see them turning away from him in the waves. So they've obviously got together and said, who was that? Who hit that Japanese boat? Was that you, Frank? No more of that. We aren't going to jump on this guy. You listen to him, his theory of it.
After it happened, you know what? They communicated to each other that every time I'm paddling, they're coming, they're supposed to jump, they were getting away from me. First time happened to me. I never seen it happen to anybody before.
What about that?
I can jump in here, actually.
Yes.
Because marine biologists have proved that when there is a Japanese person in the water, a Japanese man, that dolphins will communicate and say, let's leave him alone, and whales will just disappear altogether.
Yes.
Lado Ed and Robert on the new Triple M.
I want to talk tattoos, guys.
Me too.
Let's just go a quick roll call. I have zero. Robin?
I have two. Will, kind of three. Ooh, oh, looks silent.
What do you mean kind of
Well, I've got a scarification, which is a scar tattoo as opposed to actually ink into the skin. This one's done through cutting.
Oh, that's special. So you've made it look like a prison tat.
Kinda. It's a bird. It's a robin.
Oh, is that the one on your leg?
Yeah, that's one on my leg. And I've got a set of tiny little wings at the base of my neck. Yes. And I've got a star on my wrist.
Oh, I've never seen. Show me that one on your wrist.
Okay, so I got that one done on air with a girlfriend of mine who was dying of cancer. So we got it done together. Oh. So there you go. And okay. Brendo.
I got a couple over the holidays, yeah. Just on, one under my bicep and the other one under my bicep as well, actually.
Yeah,
so.
Drunk
biceps. Mardo.
Well, I've just got one little one. I lost a bet. Okay.
Where is it?
It's on my ass, and it's...
What is it?
It's the Gold Coast Suns symbol.
Are you for real?
Show her.
There's hair and tattoos. So that's my bum, okay? Yeah. I don't want to touch that. I'll show you later. Listen, let's move on. It was a nasty incident. Oh, mate, the news crews are in here. 6:05 on the news. It was a slow news night. I'm having my ass tattooed on the news and the kids didn't know. I'm getting them dinner and they said, Dad, your bum's on TV. Anyway, let's not talk about it. Let's get back to tats.
We're talking about tats.
I want to talk about changing tattoos because every now and again we get sent things for people. They've invented new things and we've heard a couple of times about people that invented new lasers to remove tattoos. But the one that we keep hearing about now is changing a tattoo. So it used to be of, someone's name often.
and then that relationship goes sour. Of course, famously, Johnny Depp has Winona, which he changed to Wino. And then there is a friend of mine had the name of a Brisbane Bronco tattooed on her, and they broke up. I mean, I know. So, I mean, I'm as shocked as you that they broke up. And then so she had that change to some flowers. But that she said that the changing of it was so hard because she was limited in what she could get. She
Why
said,
do
I want to change
worry
it.
About all this? Like, do you know what's happening now?
Why?
They're now doing tattoos that disappear after a year. Small molecule tattoo ink that breaks down after a year.
Ooh.
If you wanted it, you could then get it redone. If you don't, it's gone.
That's
what
genius.
A clever idea.
There's another stuff, whereas they don't go, the epidermis. That's one layer of it, two layers, three layers of it. They only go into that first layer, don't go down to the third one. Mm. So that can be erased really easily. They're now... Because what's going to happen? There's going to be like last 15 years as Tat's been serious with everyone, popular with everyone. They're going to be the lost generation. Everyone's going to go, what was wrong with those people? Because that's going to be the big business, getting rid of tats. Or, as you say, if you haven't done these, tats that disappear, getting them changed.
So I'd like to talk to people who've had to, have you changed a tattoo? Have you had a tattoo altered? Or perhaps you're a tattoo artist that is now doing a lot of, can you change this? I don't like this anymore. I used to like this. I don't like it. A barbed wire around the bicep used to be cool. Now it just it makes you look like you're about to be on Married at First Sight. So if you...
Do we want tattooed artists or people who have been tattooed
both,
and had a change?
Yeah. Let's have both sides of the coin. Maybe you've got a coin tattooed. Have you had a tattoo altered? What's it like?
You know, the guy
I heard that it's worse.
The guy next to me when I was getting my tattoo was getting a tattoo of a coin.
Which coin?
It was one of the old ones, one of the 1 cent, 2 cent.
Being
very
tossed
nostalgic.
Or like
no, just a coin.
Oh my God, what is wrong with
people? He was 50, so I mean, he
was 50.
Yeah, he had it.
Which side of the coin, the queen's head or the animal?
No, the animal.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Modified tattoos. Have you got some? Have you done one? Are you a tattoo artist?
1 in 5 Australians have a tattoo, and for women, the figure is closer to 1 in 4.
Women have more tats than men.
Yeah, baby.
But could you imagine being 80 with a full sleeve?
Yeah, but that looks cool when you see like a guy in his or a girl in their 50s or 60s and they're all faded and they look sort of semi-amateurish.
They sure do. My father-in-law had an eagle on his forearm.
Yeah.
Looked like a truckie. He was a gynecologist. I often say this. Can you imagine having a baby? It looks like a truckie's delivering it. He got it during the war. He was in the Navy and then went on to become a doctor.
Yeah,
big,
man.
And it looked so cool when he was older because it was all the...
Like
all
gnarly
the ink had
and
faded.
And,
yeah.
And had it kind of bled a bit, like you know how it kind of separates?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so, yeah, shouldn't
who's
promote
had a,
it, but...
Yes, who's had a tattoo altered? Jason from Robina. What did you used to have, Jace?
G'day, Ed, Marto, Robin, how are you?
Hey, yeah, Jace.
Very formal, hello.
I used to have tribal from my elbow to up onto the top of my shoulder.
Yeah, okay.
But just, I got that really early at a really young age and then noticed just everyone sort of started getting tribal.
Yeah.
I track this guy down who's really good at cover up. He covers over the top.
Uh-huh.
So I went in and saw him. He's turned all the tribal into trees and like with branches coming off them and leaves and everything. And
that's
then
clever.
Sat Ned Kelly in the middle with the with
great.
The full camp, with the campsite with the horse and the swag and the tucker bag.
What?
Can you send us a photo?
Great.
Can you?
That's
do you have
great,
a before
Jace.
And after? Because that sounds amazing.
That's a tree change
for sure.
Can you send it to us? We'd
great.
Love that.
Yeah,
no
that's
problem at all. Yeah, everyone comments on it. That's for sure.
That's
yeah,
brilliant.
They would.
That's good. Thank you, Jace. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Oh, Jace, how much did it cost?
Oh yeah, how much?
It's probably about 7 hours worth of work, probably about $1,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
That sounds like you got a goodie.
I really want to see
Ned
that.
Kelly.
Craig of Murrumba Downs. Oh my goodness, you had your tattoo changed how many times?
3 times.
From what to what to what?
To what?
From an angel, because I was going to put an angel and a devil on either shoulder.
Yes.
And then I got changed to a car logo.
Ooh,
and
which
the
one?
Car
which
logo, what? A Pontiac, which is a star, basically. A point.
Righto.
And then that got basically butchered by the Australian tattoo guy.
Yes.
And when I was living overseas, I got it fixed up over in Thailand and made it actually spectacular. It's actually holding colour now.
Wow, it kind of makes me laugh that you had to go to Thailand to get it fixed.
Yeah, well, the Thailand guy said, why did he do it so badly? And I said, because I told him to do it on purpose like that.
It was a draft. It was a draft that I've come to have filled out. Okay, so that's three changes and to finally get it right. And I think we've now got a tattoo artist. Here he is. It's this Loz from 7th Circle Studio, one of the finest tattoo establishments
Where's that at?
Yeah, well, let's ask. Hey, Loz.
G'day, mate. How you doing?
Where are you, Loz? Where's your studio?
Mate, we're at level 2, 815 Stanley Street, which is directly opposite the Gabba Stadium.
Yeah, right. Oh, nice. Another one.
Okay. Yeah, excellent. All right. So you've changed a few. You've had to change a few tattoos over the years?
Well, mate, it's part and parcel of the job. You know, if you want to keep a decent career, you have to be able to be versatile. And one of the aspects that you need to be good at is to be able to alter or change people's tattoos when they've had jack of them, you know?
Well, yeah. Give us an example, mate, one that's been a classic.
Well, mate, the one that really, really sticks in my mind, this is a long, long time ago. Like, I've been tattooing over 20 years now, and this is one from early days. There was a fella who had a portrait. It was a beautifully done portrait of his wife on his chest. And obviously it had all, it all fallen apart. It was a very, very ugly separation. So he came into our shop and had her face changed to that of a baboon.
Why did he go that end of the baboon? He should have gone the other end, Loz. That's fantastic.
And, and, you know, because of the delicate features in the portrait kind of thing, it wasn't too hard to change it. So turned it into this big screaming baboon's face, and it was bloody hilarious.
Oh,
that
my goodness.
Is really
have
good.
You done any of the lions, like anyone?
Oh, come over the road.
Yeah, mate. It was probably about a couple of years ago now. We got Mitch Robinson just after he moved up from Victoria.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when he came from Carlton. There you go.
Yeah.
What did he get done?
We did the eyes of his son on his forearm.
Oh, wow. That's wow. Nice. Yeah. The kid's always looking back at him. I thought he might have got a Chris Judd tattooed, changed into a Lee Matthews. Just make it bald and give him a mustache. Thanks.
Obviously, tattoo artists don't have the same integrity as doctors. They're quite happy to talk about their patients.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It's art. Loz from 7th Circle, right near the Gabba. Good on you, mate. Nice to have you with us.
Yeah, no worries, mate. My pleasure. Now on Triple M, we're checking in with
Gordy Tallis. Tell us. Everyone loves Tallis. Righto, Gordy, you're from Townsville, but you played for the Broncos. What's going to happen tonight? Is it going to be another one of their classics?
Oh, look, it can't happen again, can it, mate? I think there was three games in a row when it went the golden point. Nobody remembers the grand final. Then Milford got them back. Look at Suncorp. I don't think that they can keep on going with that. I think that the squads have changed so much. So, look, I think it's going to be a different scoreline. It's a toss of a coin, but I've gone for the Cowboys. I thought that their round one performance was a slightly higher quality than the Broncos against the Sharks. But, you know, you throw the form out with these two sides, there's so many great matchups. You know, you've got Scott versus Dider, you know, Hunt and Milford, the Morgan and Thurston, and obviously Darius Boy, the Coot. So toss a coin, mate.
Gordy, we'll call it the first Queensland Origin selection trial, which I think is probably the trial. That's right. I've got to ask you about the other Queensland team, the Gold Coast. Part of you are affiliated with that club. What are you hearing about the Jared Haynes situation? It seems like there's trouble around Jared Haynes. What are you getting from that?
Yeah, well, I heard that it's all been sorted. Obviously, Jared Haynes is not the greatest trainer, and you don't have to be the greatest trainer. I heard Wayne Bennett say yesterday. Yeah. He's had some guys, and Marty, you've played with them, they are the greatest trainers. And we used to say, train like Tarzan and play like Jane. Well, obviously, Jared Haynes might train like Jane and play like Tarzan, but they've been a real hard-working side. And he's just trying to get into the culture. And without bagging Parramatta, he come from a side where he was allowed to do whatever he wants, you know. And now he's come back into the NRL, and it's a totally different culture. So he's probably getting used to that. But from what I've heard, he tied in late in the preseason. He was absolutely brilliant, and that's why they were talking about him being co-captain. The way it can all go away is if Jared Haynes goes out there and plays good, and if he gets man of the match, everybody shuts up.
Gordy, Rugby League Week's about to close down after 47 years. What did it mean in your life? Did you go up reading it like I did?
Yeah, mate. I reckon Dad bought it every week and we had a big pile of them and, you know, you thought of looking. I put the posters, I think, of Brad Tessman, had Michael O'Connor, like, up on my wall.
I had them in a suitcase, Gordy. How long did you keep them for?
Well, I probably kept them until I left home when I was 18. And, you know, and I walked in the box yesterday and I heard that Rugby League week, they might have one or two issues to come and then that's it. And then Heine goes, well, I used to love it because I used to read it just to see my name and I thought I'd made it when my name was in the Rugby League week and all that kind of stuff. So look, mate, I suppose, you know, print, paper and media is sort of a dying art at the moment, but that's a little bit of a shame.
Can I put it to you that for so many young men, that was our only reading of the week?
Absolutely. That was the only reading tool. I didn't like reading books. I remember when... I went to school, the teacher told Mum, listen, what does he enjoy? She has rugby league. She says, well, make sure he reads something like that. So that's why I'd always get it. I suppose that was probably part of the case because you've got to be curious about what you're reading about. And I didn't want to read fairy tales because they always were disasters, weren't they? Fairy tales, I was supposed to be cute, but Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. Jack and Jill broke his crown. They are all... very, very
bad. There was a wolf chasing some chicken.
Yeah, I know. Like Little Red Riding Hood, they're all really bad.
What are people doing instead? If they're not getting a magazine, are they getting it online?
No, that's it.
They're watching Gordy on a lounge each Monday, Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. So now there's more what they call magazine shows on Fox. There's 35 hours of free of rugby league on Fox now. So, like, you get your fix.
All right, Gordy Taylor, speak to you soon.
See you soon, guys.
Okay, so there's a story during the rounds. Now, if you're a fan, either of you guys watch Gogglebox?
I always mean to, but I never get around to it. It looks quite fun.
It's such a surprisingly hit show, and now all the networks are watching as people, like just the general public, normal families, are commenting on their shows to see how to tweak storylines and change stuff. But it's become a big hit. They've won a Logie.
Did they really?
Yeah, they did. And if you are a fan, you would know...
Are they the same people on each week?
Yes.
Oh.
So you get to know the people that, you know, that are commenting on their shows. And one of those families is the Jackson family. Now, Grant and Stacey. And they're kind of unusual because they've got six kids between them. Mm. And, you know, we just... If you're unsure about who we're talking about, this is Stacey talking about their kids.
We got judged big time when we were young and had you. I remember one person saying to me one time, you got three of them, so are they all from the same father?
Man, that's harsh. That is very harsh.
Who's Stacey hanging out with?
Anyway, they have become grandparents. And I'm not going to tell you how old they are yet. I will reveal it at the end. Ooh. But it could potentially make them right up there with the youngest grandparents ever. So I reckon...
That's a title.
Well, let's see. Let's see if... Who
I got the bloke living next door to me, Dave. He was a grandfather at 37.
Okay, that's young. All right, let's go. Can we find Brisbane's youngest grandparents? You could be in and around 37. Because also it's just about we want to know the story. What's it like?
What happened to be
a young grandparent? Maybe you're the parent of a child that made your parents the very young grandparents.
How old are you, Ed?
I'm 36.
Well, hurry up, mate. You haven't even had your first one and these people are doubling up. They're generationing on.
Wendy, here in Bilba. Okay, how old?
34, my mother was.
Wow. When you had a baby?
My father was 33. No, my sister.
Oh, your sister. And how old was the sister?
16.
And how did they take the fact that they, in their mid-30s, were about to be grandparents?
My mum refused to be called grandma. She was far too young for that, apparently.
Yeah, fair enough.
It was going to be Nan or Nana, and it took a lot to get used to. My younger brother was only 5 when he became an uncle.
Oh, well played. I love those situations. Wendy, was there ever a stage where they said to your sister, didn't you learn anything from us?
Oh, I don't think my father spoke to her for about 6 months.
Oh, I know.
Okay, so how long ago is that, Wendy?
She's just turned 21, the daughter.
Oh, right.
And she has 3 children of her own, unfortunately. So the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Okay, but here's my question then, because you could, if you keep reproducing when you're young, you could have lots of generations still alive. So there's a great-grandmother?
We have 4 generations. We have a great-grandmother, a grandmother. Yes, a 4.
Wow.
That's well done. Thank you, Wendy. That's a great start.
That's clubhouse leader sitting in there. Yes. Who we got? Nikki from Eden's Landing. Nikki.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Is this you?
Yes, I'm the grandmother at 36.
Oh, Nana.
Oh, did you get called Nana?
I am a Nana and I love it.
Do you?
Hey, give us the breakdown. What age were you? What age was your son or daughter?
I was 18 by a month, and she was just 18 herself.
It's amazing how it repeats.
And how long ago is this, Nikki?
7 months.
Oh. So do you have a lot to do with your grandchild?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, very much a lot. And I absolutely love it because I'm still young enough to look after him and do what I want to do. And my kids, unfortunately, my youngest is only 11 himself. So he's finding it a bit difficult to be an uncle, but we're getting there.
Yeah, Nicky, young uncles, ain't that a thing, Ed?
Good, yeah, it is a new, that's another wrinkle. Nicky, great attitude, Nicky. Appreciate speaking to you. We're looking for Brisbane's youngest grandparents.
So what are we calling it so far? Was Wendy, was what, 34?
34. Yeah. 34.
Yeah. Righto.
That's the youngest so far.
Come on, keep a challenge up.
Hello, Mick of Brackenridge. How
hey,
old?
Mick.
Hey, morning, guys.
How are you, mate? I never knew this part. Mick used to ring in all the time. I haven't heard from you for a while.
No, I'm loving the new show, but I'm glad Robin's still with us.
Oh, good one, mate.
Still.
Righto, mate.
I haven't left after 6 weeks. I'm still hanging in there, Mick.
Are you telling me you're a grandfather, Mick?
No, not yet. A friend of mine, Veronica, she was just turned 31.
No way.
She had her son when she was 15, and then he became a dad when he was 15 as well.
Whoa. Hey, can play some fanfare or something, Brendan. We have a winner.
Wow.
He's the youngest one I've ever heard of. Yeah. 31. God.
That is hardcore.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Did they cope?
Oh, yeah. No, very, good, big, supportive family.
Yeah.
15, Mick. How does a 15-year-old look after a kid? I could barely manage a Super Nintendo. How does a 15-year-old manage a kid, Mick?
I think you just got to have those parents, to guide you through it. Because if you haven't go to school or get a job or do anything like that, you just got to have the right parents, I think.
Mm. Well, it's good they've got good support.
Her being a mother at such a young age, she could understand and relate.
Yeah. More contraception, I think, might have been
that,
idea.
But that means... Actually, that means that, if that Mick Jagger, who had a kid at, 74?
Yes.
He's more than double the age of the grandparents that we're finding here.
Oh, my God.
Okay, that's the winner, I reckon.
Yeah, not uncommon.
Is it really a win?
Oh, absolutely. Look, if they're happy and they've chosen to have the kids, I mean, me personally, with a nearly 17 and nearly 15 and 12-year-old sons, that is completely freaking me right out. Mm. But, they seem happy enough.
12-year-old's got a girlfriend, doesn't he?
No, stop.
Oh.
Okay.
Whoa, hold
no,
on.
He doesn't. The 14-year-old does.
Oh, the 14-year-old. Oh, dear.
Nana Rob.
It is the new Triple M.
What a big game tomorrow night at Suncorp Stadium. The Reds are playing the Crusaders. Crusaders, one of the most heavily supported New Zealand teams, so there'll be a good crowd there. And to have a chat with us is the Wallaby captain, former, what would I say when you coach somebody? Former student
prodigy.
Of the game. Prodigy. Yeah, no, don't worry about that. He's a legend. Stephen Moore, good morning, mate.
Morning, Marto. How are you?
Yeah,
how
good, you mate. Guys? Can I get a hard one out of the way first, mate? I've had such high hopes for the Reds. First week, super. Last week, a little bit down. Is everything all right down there?
Yeah, it is, mate. We were obviously very disappointed with the result in Perth last week, and the Force played well to their credit. But, we certainly, a lot of things in our game we've worked on hard this week, and looking forward to getting out there at home tomorrow and, putting a performance out there that everyone can be proud of in front of our home fans.
You must hate losing.
Yeah, rugby's one of those things, I guess, sport in general, you have immense highs and then you have the lows as well when you have a loss. There's such a big difference between a winning dressing room and a losing one, but the difference in the result can be such a fine margin. So, those things are the way you just have to manage that during the week, and this week we've tried to keep everyone positive. It's still early in the season and there's a long way to go for us.
Squeaky, Monday mornings they tell me the gym session's run by Brad Thorne. Can you describe what those sessions are like? I hear they're pretty tough.
Back in the day we used to do all our weights over in the shed there at Ballymore and since moved it across to the grandstand, but Thorne's moved it back again, back to the old shed with all the old weights and no air conditioning and things like that, and just brought it right back down, I think, and it's really good. The boys have enjoyed it and lots of hard work and there's no secrets to the way he prepared and the way he played. It was basically hard work.
How you going, Squeak? You happy to be back in Brizzy?
Yeah, I am, mate. It's been great. Yeah, we've been back now for a few months and for the family as well to be back in Brisbane, and I probably never thought I'd come back to the Reds, to be honest, and to get the opportunity is something I really want to make the most of.
Stephen Moore, Queensland Reds playing the Crusaders. Is Digby Ioane playing for the Crusaders?
Yep.
What
is
that?
He's on the wing for the Crusaders. Mm. Yeah, so he's been playing in Japan for a few years and he's signed the Crusaders, so good to see him back. Just hopefully he doesn't play too well tomorrow.
Go well, mate.